Hey everyone, this is Arjun Amala, professional baseball player for the Toronto Blue Jays, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a conversation with athlete and baseball player Arjun Nimala. Stay tuned. Once again, a heartfelt thanks to everyone for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing and sharing it with your friends and family, and for following us on that good old social media. If you're enjoying these conversations, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's truly appreciated. So we're in October, and there's two things that you can kind of count on here in the United States: getting ready for Halloween and Major League Baseball's playoffs and World Series. I certainly grew up an LA Dodgers fan and have family members and friends who follow baseball religiously, as it's not only the oldest of the major American sports, but one with a lot of opportunities to see games at a variety of levels in virtually every corner of the country, and a fair amount of history and tradition that's part of the overall American story. So I was grateful to share a conversation with Arjun Nimala, someone who's already changing baseball's story. This past summer, Arjun, who's from Valrico, Florida, not far from Tampa, became the first-generation Indian-American teen to be selected in the first round of the Major League Draft. Now, for a lot of youth playing baseball, and of course their parents, it starts out with T-ball and Little League and travel teams, and by the time middle school starts, many have already logged in a lot of time and exposure. Now, Arjun's path was a little bit different. His immigrant parents were athletes in India, and Arjun's exposure to a bat and ball was primarily learning and playing cricket with family and friends. He played a lot of soccer and basketball, and it wasn't actually until he turned 12 that he began to take up baseball and concentrate on sharpening his skills batting and playing shortstop. He takes his craft seriously and trained in the past with his favorite player, Francisco Lindor from the Mets. And after getting drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays this past summer and finishing high school, Arjun went straight into working with the team and playing in the summer rookie minor league in that unforgiving Florida heat. And along with recent players like Rohan Honda and Kumar Rocker, he represents a bright future in American baseball for South Asian origin athletes. Not to mention that he just turned 18 a few weeks ago, making him among the youngest and more precocious talents out there. We had a chance to catch up just before his birthday and talk a bit about the journey and how he prepares, and about both his background and what he thinks of his future legacy. But we started by talking about the swirl of the past few months of getting drafted, finishing high school, and playing baseball as a rookie, and how he's felt during this time of transition.
First off, thank you for the happy birthday. Yeah, it's been weird, you know, like being so young and playing minor league baseball, not necessarily major league baseball yet, but just being sure. in that setting, it demands a lot. You know, you're supposed to be able to live on your own and do a lot of things that normally I would have my parents to help me with. And it's helped me learn a lot about responsibility and what I need to do to make myself better, and what I can do to help others around me. So I think that personally, I've been embracing it really well.
Yeah.
And rookie ball was quite something, you know. It's really hot outside and no parents there to watch you. And it's just, you know, it's just you doing your thing. And for me, you know, that's amazing. And that's just kind of that self-learning of what you need to do and what you need to do to keep getting better and better, and the process, you know. So I thought that was amazing, and I can't wait to keep going.
It's a lot to, in fact, synthesize, right? Like going from this very expected and familiar environment to the day-to-day kind of grind of and responsibility in minor league ball or in the rookie league. And, you know, for you, did you feel prepared in a way? Like, just because, hey, you kind of either heard about it, or for that matter, also, were there some kind of helpful stewards along the way? Like, even while you're there, like, you know, sort of like folks who take you in? Or for that matter, I mean, is there a general amount of expected hazing that goes on with this?
I think that for me, I felt pretty ready for that first step, which was rookie ball. You know, going forward, it's going to be every level of minor league ball and then major league ball. But I thought I was pretty ready because I had a great support staff around me. The people around me have great baseball knowledge. I know from a few players who themselves are also playing either minor league or major league baseball. So I kind of knew what to expect going into it.
Yeah.
So having them was extremely appreciated by me. And it was a fun experience for sure.
I imagine that it wasn't just sort of starting the night of the draft. And obviously for you, this was a longer journey and getting through high school ball and all the awards and the accolades along the way. But I'm curious a lot about how people feel the night before something big happens. So do you remember what it was like the night before the draft? Like kind of what you were going through and like what that felt like?
I think the night before the draft, it was more like what's going to happen. You know, I had no clue. You know, there's like, you might go here, you might go there. But come draft time, you never really know what's going to happen. And for me, I was super nervous. But at the same time, I was super excited because I had a feeling like I knew that I was going to go within the first round, you know, not to be cocky, but that's just what I thought.
Yeah, and, sure.
I went to the Blue Jays, which is an amazing organization. Couple World Series wins. Great diverse culture in Toronto as well. So I thought it was just no better place to start. So it was definitely nerve-wracking before draft day, but I'm glad that it happened the way it did.
You know, the night before with a lot of that sort of uncertainty, had you ever gone through anything like that before? I mean, where it was sort of like this just, you know, set of expectations, and thankfully, like, you know, you kind of knew where you were likely going to go, but just the idea that like, hey, you know what, in fact, it's a lot of uncertainty that's out there.
I would say that, I mean, I could say like the night before a big test, but to be honest, it didn't compare at all. You know, we're talking about a test here, and then we're talking about my whole future. So that night was different than any other night that I've ever lived. And, it was just an extremely exciting experience for me.
I saw some clips of your entire family and a lot of friends and community around as you guys celebrated. And, you know, it just seems like there was a lot of pride in the room, right? Yeah. So for everyone around you, I mean, has that still, that sense of pride, that sense of sort of celebration, is it still going or has it kind of set in yet that like, you know, wow, this is really happening?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a mixture of both. You know, I've been... Yeah. The people around the room with me were all people that are super important to me and my family.
Yeah.
And they kind of grew up watching me and my teammates playing baseball. And a couple of my friends that are just from school that I bonded with like that, but they've all just known me and what type of person I am. And they knew how important that day was for me. So they were celebrating just as much as I was. And still to this day, you know, they're super proud of me. But they know what I need to be able to do, and that I'm super thankful for them because they know what I need to do, and just being there for me if I ever need them, and just being proud of me. And likewise, I'm very proud of them and where they have gotten in life. But
yeah,
I think the bond that we all shared in that room is still there, and it will continue to grow as well.
It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, like you have that bond, that same, like I said, familiarity, and they're reminders, you know, every day. And yet you know, flip the switch and switch gears and all of a sudden now, like there are new people who are there to support you. And there's a lot of new sort of like anchors and foundations there. Were there some kind of like, you know, times where you're like, oh man, I wish I could just go to the park with my friends and, you know, at the same time, like not necessarily have them there for you, but you got new support systems and new people that you're relying on. Was in many ways, did you miss that this past summer?
Yeah, I miss it a lot. You know, this past summer, you know, I was just with friends a lot, you know, including baseball, playing a lot of baseball, summer ball, travel ball, everything like that. But just being around friends, you know, last senior summer, you know, before everyone goes off to college and you don't see each other for another month, another couple months or so. So I miss it a lot, you know, but I made a lot of new friends come when I went to Dunedin, new baseball friends, and a lot of new people came into my world that I'm very appreciative of. Yeah. But like you said, I do miss being able to hang out with my old friends once in a while. So as much as I can, I do it. So
I'm curious to some degree, right, with the transition and now, like, you know, it's a business. It's definitely work, and it's part of kind of what you signed up for. And What's been the biggest surprise so far about playing in the rookie league, about that process, or for that matter, something that you really kind of didn't expect or weren't prepared for?
I think that I was always prepared for like the grind, and
yeah,
I just knew about how motivated you had to be to try to achieve that goal, which was Major League Baseball. So I don't think that really came as a surprise to me, but just like, especially in rookie ball, like the conditions that you need to play in are absolutely brutal. It's 12-1-2 and it's hottest times of the day, and you're expected to go out there and do your best. So what I learned is that it doesn't really matter at what point you're at or where you're playing at. You've got to be able to go out there and compete and give it your best. So that's something I'll definitely carry with me along the way, because you know, on TV it may look nice that major leaguers stay in a nice air-conditioned ballpark at 7 at night and the weather's nice, but they also went through the same stuff that everyone else went through in the minor leagues, and it is a grind. So I'm just trying to embrace that and learn along the way. So I think those are the two biggest lessons that I've probably learned so far,
you know? Were there surprises at all about like the kind of scrutiny or the attention to detail or like the pace of things in that way at all?
I think there was not much of a surprise there. You know, I kind of felt like I was used to what type of pace was needed. You know, it's a fast pace. It's very fast pace, you know?
Yeah.
There's no day off. You know, you might have a day off, like Sunday was our day off, but there really is no day off. You know, you just got to keep working hard, you know? But I feel like what also would come as a surprise to me is like you said earlier, like hazing, like people could hate, you know, and that just happens. But just being able to tune that out and not listen to it at all is a big thing. And I think that's something that I do really well as well.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're pretty grounded and focused and sort of eyes on the prize all the time, then that's easy to do. Has the rookie ball experience, you mentioned it's a grind, but it's also a little bit different pace from high school. Has the experience so far made you watch the game a little bit differently? Have you become in some ways almost a better student of baseball?
For sure. I think that was a great question. And for sure, I agree that I have become a better learner of the game. You know, whenever I watch a game, I'm like, okay, this pitcher is going to throw this pitch. You know, it's always something I'm learning. And I think that a lot of that comes from being able to have that pro and rookie ball experience, you know? So I think I'm definitely learning from the game. And I feel like because I'm able to learn more from the game, I'm also getting better exponentially myself.
I know you've probably been asked this a lot. And I know a couple of days from now, there's this whole baseball and cricket challenge that you're doing with Ajinkya. And you came to baseball perhaps a bit differently in timing and sort of scope. Than many others, but I'm wondering if your approach to preparation and training and in some ways even observing the game might be a little bit different, or it has a little bit different twist because of that pace of which you entered baseball, maybe different from, you know, some of the other kids and teens that are out there.
I think that when I was younger, you know, being introduced to baseball, it was more, you know, you're having fun. And likewise, I'm still having fun as I train and prepare now. But as I grew up and it kind of became more serious, you know, it's more having fun as well as combining it with trying to get better and better and trying to almost master the skills. I don't feel like a lot of things I do different, because just like every other player, I try to train my best to become as good as I can at every tool that's necessary for the game. So I don't think there's really anything different. It's just that the way that my training and preparation has evolved going up in age and the ranks, I think, is what's a little bit different.
Does that motivate you any differently in that way? That, like, you know, because you look at it as like, hey, I just kind of came in here and having fun, and at the same time, you're also perfecting this craft. Do you have some different perspective perhaps because, you know, you were in, I would say, introduced to it a little bit differently? Like you weren't that kid who was playing t-ball at age 4 or 5, right? Does that in some ways kind of like keep it fresh constantly, that you're just, you know, constantly sort of prepared for what's next, as opposed to it being sort of like a slog or like you get kind of burned out of it?
Yeah, I think that for me, you know, playing baseball is never a question. You know, if we're playing baseball, it's, let's go play baseball. Let's go practice, you know? So I think for sure, you know, perspectives would have changed because I didn't necessarily enter baseball as a T-baller. You know, I came in first through like machine pitch, which was a little later than other kids. But I feel like that love and that passion never changes, and it never becomes a burden. You know, playing baseball for me is always something I love to do and will always probably love to do anyways.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with baseball player Arjun Nimmala. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Sean Jayachandran, founder of Crossover Basketball and Scholars Academy. You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with athlete and baseball player Arjun Nimmala.
Do you still, you know, pick up that cricket bat, or do you still, you know, play other sports, whether it's, you know, just being out there, just being an athlete more than anything else, that you just love sports? Does that in some ways kind of also help when it comes to focusing on baseball too?
Yeah, I would say that a lot of sports, like different sports, help being an athlete. You know, I also play different sports every now and then, like basketball, a little bit of football. You know, I do pick up the cricket bat and the tennis ball or the racquetball every now and then. But yeah, I think that there's different movements and different abilities that each sport needs to have. And just being able to be a multi-sport athlete and, you know, try to embrace each sport will definitely help play baseball as well. You know, every sport needs like a skill, and as long as you try to keep staying active and athletic, I think that's just going to help me play baseball as well.
How has this kind of transition also, do you think it's magnified or highlighted your competitiveness? Are you a guy who's like, I don't care if we're playing ping pong or baseball, I'm going to win?
Yeah, I think that competitiveness was always there since day one. Yeah. Like, you can even ask my dad, you know, we would race down the street like 50 times a day. I'd lose 49 of them and win that last one. Like, it was just always there, you know, that desire to win. And, you know, now I've learned that losing is also sometimes good. You know, you can learn from losing. But that competitiveness was always there, and I always want to win and do my best. So I think that's something I will carry for me, but it's also something that I do in baseball as well. Like, I always want the team to win. You know, baseball is a team sport, and I'm trying to do my best to help the team win. So that's always there.
There's people like Kobe or Michael Jordan or others who played, like, you know, with that just killer instinct, right? They want to sort of not just beat you, but they want you to remember that they beat you. And is that almost in some way, do you think that sort of as an athlete, do you think that that's sometimes just necessary? Like, you have to have that kind of competitiveness or that fire to, you know, motivate you, especially when it's a grind. And sometimes it's hard to find things that can motivate you.
For sure. I think that killer instinct and that desire to win, get better, is necessary in every athlete, in every sport, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that desire to win is just passion, you know? It's interchangeable. Just having that everlasting passion to just continue to get better and better and help the team win, all those things are just things that Kobe and Michael Jordan had as athletes. So that's something I feel like all athletes should have.
Yeah, who knows, man? I mean, there might be kids out there in a couple of years saying that you got to have that Arjun mentality,
yeah,
right? Just as you go through. I mean, you mentioned just now, one thing about baseball that's pretty important, of course, is that balance between individual performance and sort of team-based outcomes. And especially in a sport that values individual, say, you know, batting performance, but at the same time, like the outcome is all team based. It's either a win for the team or a loss for the team. As you're now going through your own sort of development as a player, what have you been learning, particularly about how to be an effective teammate?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is just a team. You know, I've always learned as a kid that if you put the team first, you'll see you'll be better individually. And I've always taken that to heart, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how you perform if the team wins. You know, you could, like, especially in the World Series, you know, put your heart out there and try your best to win it for the team. You know, it's a team game.
Right.
You know, individual stats and accomplishments, they matter as well, you know, to yourself and as a player, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, personally to me, I think just playing for my team is much more important than myself individually. But when I prepare, it definitely is me individually trying to get better. But when it comes game time, it's me going out there and providing the best that I can for the team.
Have you seen, particularly now that you've jumped to rookie league and it's been, you're part of the, you know, Blue Jays organization, has that been magnified a little bit, right? That, like, you know, look, at the end of the day, this is all about our team winning. Have there been moments where you've been like, wow, gosh, there's such a different focus on that now that I'm in this, you know, arena, that it's a little bit different perhaps than the high school game?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but for sure, it's definitely something that I've learned, because when you come into pro ball, it's all about the team winning, you know?
Yeah.
That's all that kind of matters. And that has been magnified in a sense, and it's what's being preached, you know? It's like, help the team win, help the team win. And that's something that I've always done and I'm going to continue to do, but for sure, it's been very important, especially in the intro to rookie ball and going forward. So it's definitely something that will stay.
I've read that you describe your hitting as patient aggressive. And I'm wondering, how would you say your sort of on field or on the diamond persona maybe reflects a little bit of what you're like off the diamond?
I would say on the field, I'm super like laser focused. And that's the same off field. When I'm off the field, when I'm not hanging out with friends or doing something with family, you know, I'm super focused on whatever it is, like school or baseball, you know? So I think that those both go hand in hand.
Right. You're the first generation Indian American to be drafted this high in any major US sport. And certainly, you know, as a teen, how does pride and responsibility and even humility kind of impact the experience?
I would say you have to really put aside that pride and that humility, you know, you got to be able to embrace that, you know. For me, you got to put it away and you have to try to embrace the culture and what your impact is. And to me, I didn't know that it would kind of be like that, you know. It's just me playing the sport of baseball because I loved it and I wanted to go as high as I can. But now that I'm learning that it has more implications to it, it's me putting aside like, oh, I'm so good. All like putting aside everything else and other than me playing baseball, but also being able to represent, you know, what it means.
Can that label be sometimes unfair? You know, so because like it's a lot of responsibility to place on a 17, 18 year old. I mean, and yet at the same time, it's perhaps something to embrace that allows you to, in fact, take on that responsibility and feel like it accelerates your achievements and motivates you even more.
Yeah.
Has that been something that you've had to kind of learn over these last couple of months?
I think it's something that I've definitely had to learn over these last couple of months for sure. But for me, I don't think it was unfair at all. You know, I just love to embrace it. You know, I'm just doing my best and just having these people having the Indian culture behind me. You know, I think I'm super blessed to have that. And they're going to be behind me as long as I, you know, do the right thing and just do my best. So for me, I'm just embracing all of that. And I don't think it's burden or like unfair at all.
I guess in some ways, I'm curious what your relatives in India have had, have they reacted to this whole wonderful achievement? What's their reaction been?
Oh, I can tell you, man, they're super, super excited. You know, like I can't put their emotions and words, you know, they're super excited for me. And like, they just didn't, like, nobody really expected it. My dad and my mom and dad put my brother and me in baseball just to like allow their kids to stay athletic and to be active. And no one really expected it to come this far. And now that it did, I feel like that they're really supportive. Same with my relatives back in India. They're super supportive and they're super proud of me. So as long as I can continue to do my best and continue making them proud, I think they're going to be all good.
This is a total stereotype, but, you know, of course, many, many parents would, and whether this is Indian or South Asian or whatnot, but the expectation perhaps, or even just like the normal beaten path would be that, you know, most high school kids go to college. Yeah. And in your case, I mean, was it somewhat difficult to kind of forego that in a way?
I would say that it wasn't actually difficult at all, you know? My parents knew to what extent I was going and to what my future was leading to. And they were supportive right. all along the way. You know, I know, like you said, it's very common for us in our culture to go to college and to be very educational. Like, that's what our focus
right.
is on.
Right.
But for me, you know, that was different. I had a different path. And like I said before, my relatives and my parents, my family, they were super supportive of it. And
yeah,
like that, I'm not also foregoing college. I'm just staying online school. So
there you go. Thing. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I would say that, like, you know, yeah, for a lot of parents and, you know, education, that's where maybe the patient aggressive parts comes in.
Yeah.
You know, is that something that if you're doing it online, like, that's still a priority, it sounds like, for you?
Yes. Education is always priority, you know, especially yeah. like just in general, you know, everyone needs an education to at least do something, you know. So especially with us, you know, for us, Indian culture, education is big. And me being a baseball player, I got to be able to do both. So I'm doing online education as well. So I think that's amazing.
You know, from a degree standpoint, that the career of a major league player at, you know, like it or not, is finite. Are there people who are helping you think about that sort of like prospect of like, look, it's all amazing. The hope is that you have a wonderful major league career.
Yeah.
But it's also true that after you end your career, there is a space for how your life yeah. is going to be. Does that thinking enter even when you're a rookie like this?
Yes, it always enters. You know, everyone says it. It's all about plan B, you know?
Yep.
And that would be education, especially in my case, because plan A would be, yeah, I have a great major league career, Hall of Fame or World Series winner, all of these things. But you never know. So being able to stay educated and get that degree is always going to help me. Like, even if I do become all of those things that I desire to be, having that education, that degree is just going to help me more.
Yeah, totally. Especially with the, you know, prospect of injury and, yeah. you know, how things happen. Just to shift gears a little bit, you know, baseball and being Indian American definitely have one thing in common, in that there's a lot of tradition in the backdrop and a lot of sort yeah. of like historical importance. Are there some anchors to being Indian that somehow make it easier to be a baseball player?
I would say that the biggest one had to be like the similarity to cricket, you know, in India, cricket is like a tradition. You know, it is a culture, and just the similarities within that and baseball, because my dad, he played cricket when he was in India. So right. I feel like a lot of those skills that I kind of have might have came from him and what
sure.
he's taught me. You know, coaches have always been there along the way. I'm super appreciative of coaches, and they've kind of always seen that there's been like, oh, he's got like this tool or that tool. And I feel like that yeah. has to come from just having that kind of background, you know?
Yeah,
so I think
totally.
That for sure, you know, just being able to have my dad around me and all these coaches it's helping. But just also that background of cricket kind of yeah. also gives me skills as well. So.
Do you think, I've asked this to other people too, but like other than your name and independent of baseball even, what are yeah. some of the things that sort of make you feel like you're Indian American or South Asian American? And I mean, I think a lot about all the rituals that many Indian Americans or Indian yeah. families go through. And then I think about all the rituals that baseball players go through, and they have a lot of different sort of superstitions and things like
yeah.
that. Are there any particular aspects of being Indian American that for you are kind of important on a day-to-day level?
Yeah, like you said, for us families, that it's big to do rituals and like prayers
yeah.
and things like that. So for
right.
me, I wear a Hanuman pendant on my neck when I play, and I pray to Hanuman before a game, whatever, just
yeah.
to allow him, just to thank him and like allow
yeah.
him to let me do well, you know.
Right.
So that's a big
right.
thing for me. So that's one thing that I do a lot.
That's awesome. I wonder, in some ways, because this is probably so new to a lot of Major League Baseball players themselves, or even, you know, a Major League organization, even one like the Toronto Blue Jays, who have such an amazing community that sort of helps support and back them. How much explaining do you have to do when it comes to like, hey, yes, I'm an Indian American. This is what my name means. And this is this pendant that I'm wearing. Do you take that in stride? In some ways, is that part and parcel for being in a position where you are?
Yeah, I take that. Like, I'm super prideful about speaking about Indian culture. You know, we share that. And just being able to talk about it and help others learn that, you know, it's also achievable by us too. It's something that I take great pride in. You know, there's always some type of topic almost every day about the vast culture to, how is cricket, you know, things like that. You know, I take great pride in all of that and explaining all of that to people. So I think that's something I'll continue to do as well.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, you're lucky in a way that the Toronto community and the Blue Jays organization have that great backdrop and that spirit of including and belonging and diversity as well.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Toronto Blue Jay, Arjun Nimala. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Madhuri Dixit, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hi, I'm Pratik.
I'm Garish.
And I'm Raghu. And we're Pemisala, the world's first South Asian a cappella group. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there. I'm Abhay Dandekar. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with one of the newest members of the Toronto Blue Jays, Arjun Nimala.
In the rookie league now, I mean, and you've worked with Francisco Lindor and you've been around now, Vlad Jr., so far, at least, you know, we've talked about being an individual, being a teammate. I'm curious, especially when you've been around some of these folks who've had some great, great success, what have you learned about being a leader?
Oh, I think that being a leader is huge. Just like you said, Francisco Lindor and Vlad, they're big leaders. And being a leader, especially in a sport like baseball, is needed. You know, you need someone to kind of pick the team up when they're down, and you need someone to hold others accountable. You know, not saying that people can't do this on their own, because they can't. You know, that's why they're professional players and they know how to handle their business. But just being a leader is a big part of, like, it's a big part of being an athlete. Kobe and Michael Jordan, like we were talking about earlier, they're big time leaders. And that's something I think that I've definitely started to learn more as I entered like rookie ball and pro baseball, is that being a leader is just, it's huge. And it kind of just shows what your worth is, you know?
You almost have to like pick that up even from day one.
Exactly, yeah. Like there's different types, you know, of leadership. You can lead by example, which is a big way, or you could like lead by talking or doing something, you know? But for me, I think that I've always been like a lead by example guy. But now that I'm learning that being all types of a leader is huge. Yeah.
I'm sure that like with experience, you get to be a little bit more situationally aware, like when to be that kind of vocal leader, when like, you know, you kind of need to be quiet and just observe and lead by example. Mm-hmm. As the microscope often focuses on baseball, as you're designing kind of what your leadership style is and what you're playing, you know, focus is, does it force you to often put the other facets aside? Or does the real secret come when you kind of integrate all the parts of your life along with the baseball persona on the field and it all kind of comes together? Is that how success really happens on the playing field?
I think that just being able to to almost, yeah, piece them together, like you said, is kind of where that success comes from. You know, success to me isn't really, success is an individual for sure, but I feel like it also comes with being able to make those others around you better. And like we were talking about leadership, I think that's one big thing to being a leader, is being able to make the others around you better. So being able to pair that with your own dedication and your drive, I think that's what kind of defines a successful person, especially in a sport. You know, just being able to help the team and also help yourself.
Does the culture of a team, that especially one that allows you to sort of be yourself, mm-hmm. have you found so far that that's also really, really helpful, especially yes. when it comes to leaders who are blossoming or emerging or trying to kind of like, you know, be themselves on a larger platform in a club?
Mm-hmm. I think that being yourself is huge. And that's kind of something that is also talked about within rookie ball and wherever I was. You know, I learned that being yourself is a huge part of it, because everyone's different. You know, everyone has their own strengths that they can give to others, they can give to the team. And just being yourself, just trying to help as much as you can, is something that's big. And it's just going to help lead the success for the team anyways.
So I'm curious for you, that like when you're on the field, it's you're a professional ball player now, and yet being yourself as a 17, 18 year old oftentimes means being a kid.
Yeah.
So have you been able to kind of synchronize both of those together and make it come easy, or you know, does that come with time? Because maybe not all players understand that, especially at this time frame.
Yeah, I would say that being a kid is just needed in a sport. You know, there's always the let the kids play, you know?
Right.
I think that when you play a sport, it's almost like you're just a kid and you're just going out there to have fun. Because I think that when you're just out there to have fun and help the team, that's when everything goes better. I feel like if you're too focused on yourself and I got to do this, I got to do that, it's just locking you up and it's just not good for you or the team. So I think that being a kid is just something that's needed. And for me, being so young, like I feel like that's just how I am. I'm kind of a kid. But it's also something that I'm going to continue having while I go up, even when I'm 35. Like, I'm just going to be a kid when I'm out there.
Hey, man, even at 52, I hope I still, you know, kind of follow that pathway. That's great. So speaking of that, apologies to Honus Wagner, but who's the greatest shortstop of all time? A-Rod, Jeter, Ripken, Ozzy? Who's number one on your list? Aside from you, of course.
I always like Derek Jeter was a big favorite of mine.
Yeah.
You know, because just his personality, you know, the way he goes about his business and the impact that he had, especially in New York, was just huge. You know, not only was he great on the field, 3,000 hits, everything, great defender, great runner, great fielder, everything like that. But he's also had a great off the field, you know, status.
Yeah.
He was able to help New York, and he was just a great public figure and a good person to be around. So I thought that not only his on the field performance, but his ability to be humble off the field was also a big part of why he is like one of the better shortstops of all time.
You know, your game is, you know, powerful but nimble, right? Like that's when I think about a shortstop, you know, someone who hits for average, but especially the great ones also hit for some power. As you develop as a 17, 18 year old and going through rookie ball in the minors, and others perhaps have also done this, where as they gain more power and they actually start developing a little bit more, that there's a natural tendency to move away from being shortstop and get to third or to another position. I mean, is that something that has entered your mind, or kind of like is part of the development process?
I think that for me, you know, being a shortstop is a prideful thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just want to be able to stick at shortstop, you know? Yep. So I'm just going to do whatever I can in the best of my ability to stay at shortstop. You know, development, all that happens, like team needs, you need to play for the team needs and what the team needs. But for me, that I never wanted to move away from shortstop, you know? So anything that kind of hinders that is probably something that I probably want to stay away from.
Yeah. Good answer. I would ask you this, because like there's always a focus on, especially in baseball, on the pitch clock for pitchers and hitters. Yeah. But I'm just curious, as a defensive player, you're entering an era where Major League Baseball now is, you'll only know what it's like to have a pitch clock. But as a defensive player, is that something that, you know, you think at all helps the game, hurts the game? I'm just curious what you think, especially out as a shortstop.
I think that the pitch clock kind of has its benefits and its disadvantages, you know, but as like hitter pitcher wise, but as a defender, it's something that really, it shouldn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
I know that they changed the rules about the shifting and keep like being in the outfield pre-pitch, but I think as a defender, it's almost about playing the hitter. You know, if there's a lefty, you want to move that way. If there's a righty, you want to move that way. Double play, man on first. You know, those are the things that you think about as a defender. Not really, okay, pitch clock. Because a pitch clock has nothing to do with us.
Sure.
You know, it's pitcher batter thing. But just being able to be in that position, to be in the right position and know what you're doing on defense is what I think is most important for a defender.
Does the downtime matter? I mean, like, you have to kind of stay laser focused and be a lot sharper. And there's less of this kind of time between pitches for you to sort of like exit the game and then come back into the game, you know, as a defender. I'll get you out of here on this. You know, so much of baseball is based upon history and legacy and, you know, hey, that player reminds me of someone else, or that's really what this, you know, the Derek Jeters or the Ken Griffey Juniors of the world who come through a system and they come out so young, and we forget that those players spent a lot of time developing and in the minor leagues and kind of going through it all. You know, beyond the success on the diamond, I'm curious what you hope your legacy as a player will be. What do you hope that in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, people will say about you both as a player and as a person?
Yeah, I think that to me, I just want to be remembered as a big team guy and a guy that was never afraid to do what's best for the team. You know, not only I hope that I have a great career myself, but I want to be remembered as just a team guy and a guy who just was a great leader and a great person, you know, on the field and off the field. Like, off the field is just as important as on the field. So I'd love to be like remembered as a great person, great teammate, great ball player all along, and just everything like in a good shape, you know. And also like just be able to represent the Indian culture and everyone else in the best way that I can. So that's how I'd want to be remembered.
Well, I know that people are going to be so appreciative and excited about all your accomplishments, not only with the Blue Jays organization and Major League Baseball, but in your personal and professional life as well. Arjun, thank you so much for joining us. This was really a treat, and I hope we can visit with you again down the road.
Yep, I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Arjun, and best of luck to you and your family. My Dodgers will have to wait till next year, but in the meantime, go Diamondbacks. Remember that it's never too late to practice a random act of kindness, especially with some of the harsh things that are happening in the world. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.